The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. As more people are joining, we can just welcome them into our circle for today. And I wanted to look today at the heart quality of patience. Now, I know that is not everybody's favorite quality, so I'll ask for your indulgence for a moment while I talk about it a bit. I would like to suggest that patience is a form of love, and we'll see how that comes about. So, you know, patience, which is Kanti in Pali, is one of the 10 parami. So it's one of the qualities of character that support the path to awakening. It's things that we'll be bringing about in our heart, in our being, in our way of living that make us like awakened people. Parami has to do with crossing over. So these are qualities that can be part of our raft for crossing over. But first, a note about impatience. So impatience, I think we can all agree, is dukkha. It is suffering. But why? Why is impatience so painful? It's because we are rejecting our present moment experience. We're focused on something that is not here. And so there's no way that we can feel contentment or ease or joy. Now, impatience is the very opposite of equanimity, which is acceptance of the moment as it is. We are not accepting the moment as it is when we are feeling impatient. So the suttas say that the time for patience is when we have various physical discomforts like heat or cold or hunger or pain, as well as the endurance of unwelcome speech by others. Another time for patience. So in the modern world, of course, we could add traffic and computer problems like Zoom problems and maybe automated customer service lines with telephone trees. You know, we could add those to our list of things that we need patience for. So I think we could say that patience is a character trait of emotional maturity, but more specifically, it includes several dimensions. One of them is the refusal to get drawn into ill will. So if we manage to have patience, it means that we are able to say no to ill will at that moment. The suttas actually say that patience is an antidote to anger. So we have said no to ill will. That's the same thing we do when we have goodwill, right? When we have metta. We say no to ill will. Sure. Patience also includes an acceptance of the present moment or person as they are, including forbearance with any discomfort that might go with that. And sometimes that's needed. And then I think I would also say that patience includes some larger perspective where we have an understanding that with time, the situation is going to change. And maybe in ways that we can't totally predict, but at least we have some kind of some bigger picture wisdom going on there. So patience is much more than some kind of an ability to wait through something until we get our desired outcome, right? Like the child has to wait through driving to the ice cream store. But that's not really what patience is about, where you're just enduring until you get what you want. I would say true patience has to accept that the situation is not currently controllable by us. That's the extra mature piece, right? If we're actually patient, as opposed to impatient and gritting our teeth through it, if we're actually patient, we have an understanding, at this moment, I don't have control. I can't do anything about this, but here we are. So understanding that we have non-control is a form of wisdom. So I started out by asserting that patience is a form of love. So maybe we could say that patience is the willingness to love this moment, even if it's difficult. You know, when we love a person, you know, with actual genuine metta, when we have love for a person, we put up with how they are. If they're a little bit irritating at this moment, we still, you know, we have a lot of love for our child. And even when they're not in the best frame of mind, we're with them. We don't abandon them or turn away just because they're in a bad mood. That's what love is about. And in the same way, patience allows us to stay present with this moment, even when it's not the moment that we want it. So in practical terms, what does that really mean? I find in my experience that when patience is called for, it's like opening to a larger perspective in kind of a determined way. You know, my mind is wanting to close. It's wanting to grip or reject or be irritated. And I'm saying, no, 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 keep opening, keep stepping back, widening my awareness to this challenging issue so that my mind doesn't contract around it and bring dukkha. So it's possible that when we have patience and we are continually, yes, stepping back, remembering to be, just be here, there is actually some ease or relaxation associated with that, you know, with that willingness to open, to keep opening, to not let the fist grip. And if we can feel that ease, it actually makes being with a challenging moment much easier to tune into the ease that's there when the mind is somewhat open. As the wise abbess says in a monastery within, your problems will not be solved, they will be dissolved. And patience has something to do with that, because patience is willing to see the process through. Standing by our current state or situation until it transforms. So patience is a beautiful quality that comes from the heart and is sorely needed, I would say, in our world of instant gratification and get it done and I don't have time for this. It's a big deal to be able to say, okay, let's be here with this. It can even help others. You know, if we're able to do that, we could influence somebody else to be able to be present for a little longer than they would have otherwise. So I think there's a lot of potential in this heart quality. And the more I've had to work with it and delve into it, the more I see, yeah, there's a reason why this is included in the list of parami, the list of perfections of character, which also includes metta, which also includes equanimity, which also includes wisdom, various other qualities that we would recognize as deeply spiritual. Patience is right there with them. So with that, let's sit. So finding a posture where you'd be comfortable for our half hour or so. I'm not going to say a lot, but just connect us and get us started. I know many of us have sat for a while and been with this group for a while. And if you're new, welcome and just follow along. So gently closing the eyes, if you're comfortable doing so. Maybe taking a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. And on the exhale, softening the shoulders, the jaw, the belly. Maybe letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. Softening the arms and the hands. softening the legs all the way down to the feet. So just inviting ease through this being. Connecting in a little more deeply with the breathing, feeling how the breath moves through the whole body. Not just in the lungs. Encouraging the mind to stay present if it's a little bit dull at the end of the day, a little tired. Bringing up the energy so it's here with the group, with the sit. Or if your mind is feeling busy, doing a bunch of things just before getting here, then encouraging the mind to find some ease, to release the thinking muscle, quiet down a bit. So relaxed and alert. Perhaps taking a moment to check in with the heart. How are you right now? How are you if you feel all of that completely? Allowing all the different ways that you are to be known right now. Is there anything in your heart that you think shouldn't be there, or that you hope will end soon? Just seeing if we can allow that to be there, to have its natural lifetime, without any impatience on our part. Feeling present with everything. Willing to love this moment as it is. Now bringing kind attention to all of our experience, and we'll now sit together in silence. Okay. So, as usual, we will be moving into breakout rooms. And I thought an interesting question might be, what is your relationship to patients, first of all? And then maybe if you could share a time when patience was helpful to you, if you can think of any occasion like that where it was particularly spiritually helpful to you, let's say. And it's nice if we can kind of go around a few times, to make sure everybody gets a chance to share, and you don't have to say everything, you just say something, and then it'll come back around as people continue to share. That makes sense. Okay, so let me, you can think about that for a moment and let me work on these rooms. They're just about ready. But when people shift, then we have to change. Okay, so welcome back. Now we have a little bit of time to hear about any wisdom you'd like to share from your groups. I'm certainly curious about your relationship to patients and times that it might have been spiritually helpful to you. Or if you have any questions about this topic. Yeah, Ali, go ahead.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for all your teachings. And it's nice to see you here. I'm wondering, I mean, we were discussing about the anxiety and then being the the opposite of patience, because, and then also I mean, how it ties up to being so impatient, which definitely I could see in myself, but that probably is the root cause of it. And then rushing to get the place that, you don't need to be there on time or anything else, like it's anyway, just its connection to anxiety. I was just going to see if you could maybe open it up a bit more. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think many of these kind of slightly distressed mind states connect into each other at some level, right? So anxiety is sort of a worry about what the future is going to bring, and will it be okay, and will I be able to do it, things like that. Impatience is slightly different, but it maybe shares the understanding, the sort of subconscious subliminal understanding with anxiety, that the future is not controllable. I didn't talk about this when I was framing patience, but if we accept that patience is required in cases where we don't have control over the present moment, right? If you could control it, you would get what you wanted, but you can't. So you need the patience. There's a little corollary to that, which is if I don't have control right now, I might not actually get what I want, what I'm impatient for. It might not actually come about because who knows if something else will intervene between now and then. And we know that at some level, and that can cause a little bit of distress. Anxiety is almost a more explicit form of that, where we realize, oh, I really don't know how things are going to come out. And that is distressing to us at some level. Does that make sense, Ali, as a connection between them?
Yes, Kim. Thank you. I'll play with it. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. Serena.
Thank you. I will keep my video off because I have very little battery.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. This was perfect for me tonight because I could really see how impatience causes suffering. And I had a direct experience today on how I caused myself suffering by being impatient. In a meeting when somebody was cutting me off, not letting me finish what I needed to say. And I responded by just saying, let me finish my sentence. But that caused me suffering because then I did not know how that sat with everybody else who was at the table. You know what I mean? Because there was conflict. In other words, by me saying, let me finish my sentence, and she was a person in authority who was doing this. I was feeling bad about being cut off and not, you know, I felt like she was like, whatever, that she was kind of showing her off her power or something and not letting me finish. And so, but what it did was, by not being patient, perhaps I could have just let her do her thing. I could have let her do her thing of cutting me off. And then after she did that, perhaps if I had enough patience, I might have said, and such and such. Or after the meeting, I could have gone to her and said something. But the fear of being of, I think there must have been fear. Well, there was fear of not being respected, of not being respected.
Right. So there was some reaction to that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the reaction was, she's not respecting me. She's not even letting me finish. Okay.
Right.
And I felt like I had to stand up for myself. But what it did was it caused me suffering because then the whole scene played off. And then I was concerned about what other people thought about the incident.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, it sounds like there was some wisdom there. And when we act from impatience, which of course we often do because it's uncomfortable, there's always aversion in impatience. And so that will naturally have some kind of negative consequence for ourselves or for others or for the group atmosphere. That's just how it works, you know, karmically. And what you've outlined as other alternatives would have been if you could have borne with that unpleasant feeling of being cut off and somehow had a response that came more from compassion or from wisdom or from patience or from metta, those will, you know, be better in the long run. But,
yes,
you know, we can't always do that in the moment. I understand.
Thank you. Thank
but,
you.
Yeah,
thank you for
you,
this
Serena.
Thing. Thank you so much for bringing this up tonight. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're just right at the hour, but let's go ahead with Claire. And if anyone needs to leave, of course, that's fine. But please, Claire.
Thank you. I'll be fairly short. I am somebody who has zero patience. And so I'm wondering if there are any exercises you'd recommend to help. I have to start just building, you know, with baby steps.
Yeah, I recommend taking a breath before you say anything.
Okay.
It's a, it doesn't have to be a sort of a long, obvious one that everyone would notice, but just make sure you inhale and exhale, even just a little bit, before speaking. That's a place to start.
I'll ask you for step two next time.
Okay, good. Very good. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. And have a wonderful evening and rest of the week. Be well.
Come back soon. Come back soon, Kim. Come back soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.